Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary have been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're getting stuck into a really fascinating book, one that's, well, it's really changed how we talk about success. It's Angela Duckworth's Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance.
Yeah, this is such an important topic. It really digs into that question we've all probably asked ourselves. Why do some people who maybe don't seem like the most naturally talented end up achieving amazing things?
Exactly. While others, you know, the ones everyone calls naturals, sometimes just fizzle out.
Right. And Duckworth argues it comes down to this thing she calls grit. It's not just about talent, which is something we often think is fixed.
It's more about passion, sticking with things long term, and just sheer persistence.
That's it. Passion and perseverance combined. And the great thing, really, the empowering part for you listening, is that grit isn't something you're just born with or without.
Ah, so it's something you can actually develop. That changes the game, doesn't it? It takes it away from just luck or genetics.
Absolutely. It puts the power back in your hands, suggesting success is about traits you can cultivate.
Okay, so before we dive deeper into the book itself, tell us a bit about Angela Duckworth. Who is she?
Well, she's a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. She's a big name in positive psychology.
And she won a MacArthur Fellowship, right? The so-called Genius Grant.
That's right, in 2013, specifically for her work on grit. But what makes her perspective really unique, I think, is her journey to becoming this leading researcher.
Yeah, I read she wasn't always in academia.
Not at all. She started out as a management consultant at McKinsey, you know, very corporate, high-pressure environment.
Wow, okay. That's quite a shift to then becoming a seventh grade math teacher.
Exactly. A huge pivot. And it was in the classroom, dealing with kids day in and day out, that she had this key insight.
Was it?
She saw that some of her students, the ones who were maybe technically brilliant on paper, really struggled to keep going when things got tough.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were others, maybe not top of the class in terms of test scores, who just had this incredible determination. They worked hard, they didn't give up, and they ended up doing really well over the year.
So she saw that effort and persistence were often beating raw talent.
Pretty much. And it frustrated her that, you know, the standard ways of measuring potential, like IQ tests, weren't capturing this crucial element. That real-world puzzle basically sparked her academic quest to define and measure grit.
That makes sense. It came from a real problem she was seeing firsthand. Okay, so let's get into the book itself. What's the main argument?
The core mission, really, is to challenge what she calls the talent myth. This widespread belief that success is mostly about having some kind of innate gift.
Right, that some people are just born great pianists or scientists.
Exactly. And she breaks down her counterargument with two really elegant equations. The first one is talent times effort equals skill.
Okay, that seems straightforward. You might have a natural aptitude, talent.
Yeah.
But you need to put in the work, the effort, to actually develop a skill, like playing an instrument or learning to code.
Precisely. Talent is just potential until you apply effort. But here's where it gets really interesting. The second equation is skill times effort equals achievement.
Wait, so effort comes into it again?
Yes, that's the absolute key. Effort essentially counts twice. First, it helps turn your raw talent into a usable skill.
Mm.
Then you need more effort to take that skill and actually use it to achieve something meaningful in the world, like performing a concert or building a successful app.
Wow. So someone with maybe moderate talent but massive effort could actually achieve more than someone with huge talent but who doesn't put in as much work.
That's exactly her point. The impact of effort compounds. It doesn't just add. It multiplies over time. That's why persistence is so powerful.
Okay, so the book defines grit
and
then presumably talks about how to get more of it.
Exactly. It's structured that way. First, understanding what grit is and then how to grow it. She splits the growing grit part into two approaches, developing it from the inside out, focusing on your mindset and psychology, and from the outside in, looking at how your environment, your culture, can help foster it.
Got it. Let's dig into those sections. Where does she start with defining grit? You mentioned her research started somewhere specific.
Yeah, West Point. The U.S. Military Academy, it's famously tough to get into, attracts incredibly high achievers.
Right.
But even among these elite cadets, a significant number drop out during the initial summer training, this brutal thing called beast barracks.
I've heard of that. Sounds intense.
It is. And West Point wanted to figure out who would make it through. They looked at all the usual stuff, high school grades, SAT scores, physical fitness scores.
The standard predictor.
Right. But none of them were great at predicting who would actually stick it out. Then Duckworth came in with her grit scale. It's basically a questionnaire measuring your passion for long-term goals and your tendency to persevere. And it turned out to be the single best predictor of who completed Beast Barracks, better than any other measure. It showed that in really demanding situations, your staying power, your grit, matters more than your initial scores.
That's a powerful finding. But does focusing on something like West Point, which is so physically and mentally grueling, risk-making grit sound like it's just about brute force endurance? What about the passion part?
That's a really good question. Duckworth would argue that passion is what gives the perseverance direction. The cadets who scored high on grit weren't just tough. They had a clear, long-term goal. They were passionate about becoming an officer.
Ah, okay. So the hardship of Beast Barracks wasn't just random suffering. It was a necessary step towards something they really wanted.
Exactly. It gave the effort meaning. It wasn't just about enduring the current pain. It was about pushing through for a future they cared about. That sustained interest is crucial.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's shift to growing grit from the inside out. How does she say we cultivate that passion or interest? I think a lot of people feel pressured to just find their one true calling instantly.
Right. And Duckworth actually argues against that idea of passion striking like a bolt of lightning. She says it's usually much more gradual.
Phew. That's a relief.
Huh?
I definitely spent time waiting for that lightning bolt.
Me too. She says it starts with exploration, trying different things, seeing what sparks your curiosity. Then, crucially, it requires development. You have to actively engage with an interest, deepen your understanding, and push through the inevitable periods where it feels boring or frustrating.
So interest isn't found. It's actively developed over time.
That's the idea. Patience is key. You don't just discover passion, you cultivate it.
Okay, so you cultivate an interest. Then comes the effort part, turning that interest into actual skill. You mentioned that it has to be the right kind of effort.
Yes, this is critical. She emphasizes deliberate practice. It's very different from just putting in hours mindlessly.
How so? What makes practice deliberate?
The deliberate practice is highly focused and, honestly, often uncomfortable. It involves zeroing in on a specific weakness you have.
Okay.
Then systematically working on just that weakness, pushing yourself slightly beyond your current comfort zone. And this is vital, seeking immediate, clear feedback on how you're doing.
So it's not just playing scales on the piano for an hour. It's identifying the three bars you always mess up and working only on those until they're smooth.
Exactly. Or like the National Spelling Bee champ she studied. They didn't just memorize lists of words. They actively sought out the types of words or spelling rules they found hardest and drilled down on those specific areas. It's often tedious, but it's how you truly improve.
That sounds hard work. How do people sustain that kind of focused, uncomfortable effort over years?
That's where the next internal element comes in, purpose. Duckworth finds that the grittiest individuals connect their passion, their hard work, to something bigger than themselves.
Like a sense of meaning contributing to others.
Yeah, precisely. They see their work not just as a job, but as a calling. Even something seemingly mundane, like being a bricklayer, can be connected to purpose. You're not just laying bricks, you're building a school or a hospital. This sense of contributing to the well-being of others provides really deep, enduring motivation.
It fuels the perseverance when things get tough.
It does. And the final piece of this internal engine is hope. But she's very specific about what she means by hope. It's not just wishful thinking.
Okay.
What is it then? It's closely tied to Carol Dweck's idea of a growth mindset. Hope, in the grit context, is the belief that you can overcome challenges. It's seeing setbacks not as proof that you're incapable, but as temporary specific problems that you can learn from and figure out how to tackle.
So it's an optimistic belief in your ability to improve and persevere through effort.
Exactly. It's the resilience to get back up after falling down, believing that your efforts today will make a difference tomorrow.
Right. That makes sense. Okay, so we've covered the inside out parts, interest, deliberate practice, purpose, and hope. What about growing grit from the outside in? How does our environment play a role?
This is where things like parenting, coaching, and organizational culture come in. Duckworth talks a lot about wise parenting.
Wise parenting. What does that entail?
It's this blend of being both really demanding, setting high expectations, but also incredibly supportive and warm, unconditional support alongside high standards.
Okay.
And out of this philosophy comes something really practical she uses in her own family, the hard thing rule.
The hard thing rule. Sounds intriguing. What is it?
It has three parts. One, everyone in the family has to commit to doing a hard thing, something that requires deliberate practice and challenge. Could be learning an instrument, a sport, coding, anything.
Even the parents.
Yes, everyone models it. Two, you get to choose your hard thing. That gives autonomy. Three, and this is the crucial one, you cannot quit until a natural endpoint is reached. So you finish the season, you complete the course, you reach the end of the project term.
Ah, the no quitting midway rule. I can see some parents struggling with that. What if their kid is truly miserable doing, say, violin? Don't you risk killing their motivation for music altogether?
It's definitely a balancing act. But Duckworth's argument is that learning to finish what you start, learning to push through the difficult dip that inevitably comes in any challenging pursuit, is a more valuable life lesson than preserving short-term happiness in that one specific activity.
So the lesson in perseverance outweighs the potential dislike for that particular hard thing.
That's the thinking. Because they chose it initially and they know they can choose something different next time, it teaches commitment without being totally authoritarian. It builds that muscle of follow-through.
And this idea extends beyond families, right? Into teams or companies.
Absolutely. Cultures can either foster grit or undermine it. Think about sports teams like Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks, where he instilled this philosophy of always compete, focusing on relentless effort and consistency in practice, not just on game day.
Or those KPP schools you mentioned.
Exactly. They explicitly teach and reward character strengths like grit and self-control alongside academics. Leaders, whether they're coaches, managers, or teachers, play a huge role in creating environments where effort is celebrated, where failure is treated as a learning opportunity, and where persistence is the norm.
Okay, so reflecting on all this, what are the biggest takeaways, the core themes listeners should really grasp?
I think three things really stand out. First, and maybe most practically useful, is the supremacy of effort.
Because it counts twice.
Exactly. It's the variable you have the most control over, and it has a disproportionately large impact on your ultimate achievement. Consistent, focused effort beats sporadic brilliance over the long haul.
So focus on what you can control your effort. What's the second theme?
It's inherent in the definition. Grit is stamina. It's about the long game. It's not about intense bursts of activity that's just enthusiasm. Grit is about endurance, maintaining passion, and perseverance towards very long-term goals, year after year.
A marathon, not a sprint.
Precisely. And the third theme, which is maybe the most hopeful, is the malleability of grit.
The idea that it's not fixed.
Right. You're not stuck with the level of grit you have now. Duckworth's research shows that through conscious effort, cultivating interests, engaging in deliberate practice, finding purpose, adopting a growth mindset, you can actually build more grit at any stage of life. Achievement isn't just for the gifted.
That's a really powerful message. The book also has some very memorable lines, doesn't it? Quotes that really capture these ideas.
It really does. They stick with you. We've already talked about the core equation. Talent x effort, skill. And skill x effort, achievement.
Yeah, seeing effort in there twice really hammers home its importance.
Another key one defining grit itself is, grit is passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. It highlights that combination of enduring passion and relentless work over extended periods.
I like the one that contrasts starting and finishing. Enthusiasm is common, endurance is rare.
Oh, that's a great one. So true, right? Lots of people start things with excitement, but very few see them through the tough middle parts.
Yeah, that one definitely resonates.
And maybe a good wake-up call is, without effort, your talent is nothing more than your unmet potential.
Oof. Yeah, that's a stark reminder not to just rely on any natural gifts you might have.
Mm-hmm.
Potential doesn't achieve anything on its own.
Exactly. It needs that engine of effort.
Okay, this is all fascinating theory, but how can people listening apply these ideas practically? Like starting today?
Great question. Personally, one concrete step is to embrace deliberate practice in an area you want to improve.
So instead of just practicing, identify a specific weakness.
Yes. Pick one thing you consistently struggle with in a skill. Maybe it's making smooth transitions in presentations or hitting a particular high note when singing. Dedicate focused time only to that weakness, actively seek feedback on it, and push yourself slightly past comfortable. It might feel slow or frustrating, but it's how real improvement happens.
That makes sense. What about in a professional context, maybe for managers or leaders?
Well, when hiring, think beyond just resumes and grades. Ask interview questions designed to uncover grit.
Like what?
Ask candidates about a time they faced a major setback on a long-term project. How did they react? Did they persevere? Ask about activities they've stuck with for years, even when it got difficult. Look for evidence of sustained commitment and resilience, not just talent.
Good point. Focus on the follow-through. And is there a simple mindset shift we can all try?
Definitely. Practice catching yourself when you face a setback. Notice if your internal narrative is leaning towards a fixed mindset, like, I'm just not good at this.
And try to reframe it.
Exactly. Reframe it with a growth mindset instead of, I'm bad at this, I haven't mastered this yet, or this specific approach didn't work, what can I learn and try differently? Viewing challenges as temporary and specific rather than permanent and pervasive is crucial for maintaining that hope component of grit.
It's about training yourself to see setbacks as opportunities for learning, not as final judgments.
That's it. It's a daily discipline.
So wrapping up, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway for you from digging into this book again?
For me, it was really the emphasis on how passion is cultivated, not just discovered. I think, like you said earlier, many of us wait for that perfect passion to appear, realizing it's an active process of exploration, deepening interest, and connecting it to purpose that takes the pressure off finding the one thing and puts the focus on actively building meaningful interests. That felt quite liberating.
Yeah, I agree with that. My lasting thought is how Democratic Duckworth makes success feel. It's not some exclusive club for the naturally gifted.
Yeah.
By providing the scientific evidence for the power of effort, purpose, and perseverance, things we can control and develop, she makes high achievement seem much more accessible. It validates those old virtues of hard work and sticking with things.
It really does. It gives a framework for things we intuitively feel are important.
And maybe the provocative thought to leave listeners with is this. If we accept Duckworth's science, if we truly believe effort is the dominant factor and talent is just raw potential, then we have to confront the idea that our unmet potential rests largely on our own shoulders.
It implies we're the ones responsible for bridging that gap with consistent, purposeful effort.
Exactly. It's incredibly empowering knowing you have that control, but it's also, well, it's quite demanding, isn't it?
Okay.
Puts the ball firmly in our court.
It certainly does. No more excuses, really.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.